Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly call. Today is Monday, September 4th, 2023. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern. If you're listening live over a radio or another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on a weekly call for instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser. If anyone would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions, it's plural, questions, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right-hand side of the website, which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. You can also support us by purchasing the books Government by Consent and Court Access and the Common Law, also found on the right-hand side of our website. Please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on the donation tab on the right-hand side, top right-hand side of our website. Okay, we're going to pick up where we left off last week in our scripture reading. We're reading in the book of Hebrews, in the last chapter, chapter 13, being read by Alexander Scorby. So it's Hebrews, chapter 13, read by Alexander Scorby.
Chapter 13. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, and today, and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar, whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience, in all things willing to live honestly. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in few words. Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he come shortly, I will see you. Salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints. They of Italy salute you. Grace be with you all. Amen. Epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Hebrews.
Okay, Jan, do we have any questions or announcements?
Well, we have about three questions tonight, John, and I put some information for you in your Skype bin, okay?
Okay.
First question. I've recently been advised by my employer, a defense contractor, that I'm required to report and obtain permission for personal, non-business travel to any foreign country, including Mexico and Canada. Apparently, this is a new requirement from the Department of Defense in 2022. These requirements are targeted to anyone holding a security clearance. Consequences for not reporting are potential loss of security clearance. Please let me know if there have been any court cases related to this. Seems like this requirement is contrary to the 14th Amendment, and I'd like to be prepared to argue my case. And I would make one comment about that, having held a clearance for about 35 years. If you go against the trend here, you're going to be out in the snow in the cold with no security clearance. So what's your response, John?
Yeah, I'm not sure of anything on that. Can you, what exactly was the beginning part of that? Read that beginning part. What exactly was the point?
If you hold a security clearance and you want to travel to any foreign country, doesn't matter friend or foe.
And what did you have to do? Make a report of it or something?
You have to get permission and report it.
No, I have no clue on that, so can't help.
Okay, next question then. I am inquiring about the Quattro process. How do you go about writing one up and the process on this?
Well, Quattro is really a demand for credentials. You could do it with a notice and demand. It doesn't have to be done in a Quattro form. And generally, a Quattro form is really a lot more formal, and I would think it would be in the court system. But I think you could do it outside the court system also. Either way, you set the stage for the potential of going after their oaths and their bonds. But that's a very difficult thing to do. I have a note here. I was looking, I have to look into something. I've really never looked into it before. It was called the Court of Claims. And I guess every state has a Court of Claims. And there's a federal Court of Claims. And there's what's called the Federal Court of Claims Act, which I have not read yet, so I've got to look into it. But I think that may be a procedure that may be helpful to us with this kind of a situation. But anyway, anybody who wants to learn about that, you can find some information up on our website under Education Starts Here. And you can come down to, I believe it's under Law, and you'll find Court Forms and Processes. Now, you have to be a premier member. This is one of the very few pages you need to be a premier member in order to see. A premier member is someone that's given $5 a month or more to support us here at National Liberty Alliance. So give up a cup of coffee and a bagel or something once a month, and you got it. Anyway, if you scroll down a bit, there's a demand for oath and bond. So there's a Quattro. Both in PDF and in DocX, so it's an example you can use. It's also a notice and demand for an oath and bond, both again in Word and in PDF, and then enforcement underneath it, which is the process you would go through. But I have a feeling might be able to find something in a court of claims. maybe if people want to talk a little more about that, maybe by next week I would have read that. Law, whatever it is that they put in the act, and maybe I'll have more information. So. Now, of course, the other place, which is more specific, more detailed, and the latest information that I put together, could be found under court access in the common law. You have to be come into the course. The course $125. But it's a very in-depth course of about 90 hours, and I think it's 24 sessions. I think we counted them last week. But anyway, let's see what we got. Go to the table of contents here, and under the table of contents, we should have some information on it. Let's see what we got. These should be under the extraordinary writs. Which I have an interesting thing because I'm working on an IRS case, but let me look at this first, and we'll talk a little bit about that maybe. Habeas corpus, jurisdiction challenge, here it is, writs, rights, extraordinary writs. No, that's not, yep. Notice for demand of oath and bond, notice and demand, and a writ quo want. So again, if you're in the course, and it's a really, I think it's a really good course, put a lot of information in it, and again, if you go through the course and you really work at it, you'll come to an understanding of the court system, how it works, how due process, what the procedures are, how the process goes accordingly, and the paperwork, and how to fill out different paperwork, and move the court, and so on and so forth. So there's a lot of information on that. Now, recently, which maybe next week I'll talk a little more, be more specific, but I'm working on a case, an IRS case, and we're also working on a case that really opened up another case. And the case on the IRS, well, let me think. No, well, actually, we're going after, an individual on the state level, and we're in the state, moving into the state court. And, let me go back. It's a federal case, because the other one, that's not where the problem is. It was in a federal court. And in the federal court, we had did some paperwork, which was writs, and we did a writ of error, and we were going to move forward with another writ after that. And actually, the judge got back to us on a piece of paper, and the only thing he really said on it, that power of the people had been taken away. And I wasn't aware of this, and he referred back to, I think it was Rule 61. Maybe it was 51, but I think it was 61. And I went to read it. I couldn't believe it. The sovereignty of the people to walk into a court and to have that sovereign ability to write a writ of error and other writs, powerful writs, have been literally removed by rule, just like they removed the law from the courts by rule, rule number 2 particularly. And I believe this was 61, Rule 61. I'm going to look a little deeper into that and talk a little more about that. But it is a major problem because it leaves us totally with no ability to hold any position in a court. Of course, we'll continue to make our cases and continue to make our positions and continue to argue our points. And, we don't really expect to win in many of these cases, but it's a matter of setting the record. And it's just more proof to lay out the problems in the courts, particularly in the federal courts. That's what we're focusing in on. But this does go all the way down through all of the courts, but throughout the whole United States, right down in through the state courts, and even all the way down into the village courts. But anyway, but people might want to look into this Court of Claims Act. Again, I got to do that, and I don't understand how that court works and what its purpose is or anything, but I'll be looking into it. But I have a suspicion that it might be something that will give us some potential relief, maybe with oaths and bonds. Okay, is there another question?
Well, we have one here, John. It's a statement, really. I can read it. Please get the COS in the state of Washington to do all you can to help this whistleblower and child advocate who is fighting to rescue our children from trafficking and adrenochrome and organ harvesting and satanic sacrifice. She has been unlawfully arrested and is being unlawfully jailed by Benton County Sheriff. This person is from Washington State. We have three COS members in King County, which is in Seattle. Benton County is about 200 miles southeast of there. Her name is Kat Espina. She asked that someone contact the sheriff. The sheriff certainly needs to receive a memorandum of law on what a lawful arrest is, among other things. Please listen to the audio cast in the link below between 1405 and 1453. The COS in Washington State can help her even if they are in another county, as long as they are in the state of Washington. There doesn't appear to be a COS in Benton County.
All right, well, first of all, the COS is really in their infancy. Most of them are really, really, really just starting to really organize, the ones that we do have going. Let's see how many we've had. I know last week I think we saw we had 163. I don't know if that number has gone up any, but I guess I went too far down. I guess it's a little further up. Okay, I don't see the committees of safety. Let me go over to the welcoming page. Maybe it's just not on this page for some reason. By the way, my screen is being shared, correct?
Yes, it is.
Is it in here? No, I thought it was in a different place, but maybe it is in here. Counties, total members. Okay, committees of safety, we're up to 165. Okay, so we got 165 committees of safety started. But even those who have really started to make some motions and maybe have gotten to the point where they met up with their sheriff, clearly that hasn't happened in that county probably. But nevertheless, you know, knowledge of what to do and how to deal with this problem just is not there for the people on the grassroots level. That's why it's so important for them to get educated as they're creating their committees of safety. And they should have at least one person should really take the course so that they can deal with the things of law and be able to give people advice and different things on what could be done, potentially even file a case. But even that takes time. And so we're not really in a position. You know, I kind of look at things at this point for quite some time now that we're all casualty of war, especially the people in prisons. They're prisoners of war. And it's going to be a while before something is done. You know, I kind of hope that things would have been really in motion at this point to take this nation back. But as we continue to go day by day, week by week, month by month, and year by year, literally, you know, I'm beginning, of course, to realize and understand that the people weren't ready to take this nation back because they wouldn't understand it when the move takes place. But I think we're getting closer. I think we have a lot more people that are waking up. There's no doubt about that. People are realizing there's something wrong, seriously wrong with our government, and that they're out of control and they don't listen to the people. But I guess there's still more work to be done before anything can really happen. And I don't really know the timeline of any of the plans as far as actually making a move to have these people arrested and be able to take our courts back, which the people are not really even ready for that. They're not even ready for the ability to take back their courts, to take back their political process, because they don't really understand the problem and they don't understand the solution either. And that's why they need this education. It's a serious matter that people get an education. And again, this brings us right back to a major problem we have in the sense that we have, you know, we're volunteers and we don't have enough district leaders and we're not making enough connection with these 165 committees of safety, kind of leading them along and kind of training them in the things that they need to realize and understand and focus in and move forward towards and how to do it. And just give them lots of advice. Get them to come to the Monday night meetings. Get them to get the education. We've got a lot of free education. So, I mean, people should at least take all the free education we have. That should be sufficient for the majority of the people. But for the people who really want to be the movers and the shakers to really do something, then they want to go to the higher education, and of course we supply that or provide that. I don't know that there's much we can do at this point for anyone that's in jail. I mean, we have done a lot of habeas corpuses. We don't have enough help to do that anymore. So we're kind of stuck in a situation. So anyway, we are trying to go professional, and so we are looking for money. And if we come up with the money, we will go professional, and things will change because then we'll be putting people to work 40 hours a week, and they'll be producing. Right now, everybody's a volunteer and struggling to live life as it is, and you can't put too much time into it, and we just haven't really been able to develop much in order to work with these committees of safety to educate them and really kind of string them along to the education. You know, we learned a long time ago that if you get an organization, you're trying to get a membership to be active, you've got to be active, and that's why we have Monday night meetings just to begin with. I mean, we have a lot of things going on to get people active. And But, you know, we have to connect with these people at the committee, you know, at the grassroots level that are creating these committees of safety, and you know, kind of keep them active by constantly connecting with them, helping them along to the next step, walking them step by step all the way through that process. And of course, it is really kind of an easy process in the sense that we've laid this out under the Starter Committee of Safety. We have a breadcrumb trail. And if you just click on that right there and you start reading through and lead you to the next page and to the next page and to the next page. And eventually you'll get to the place, of course, where the handbooks and the videos and all the tools are at. And we have a handbook which is very specific and detailed how to organize a committee of safety. And, you know, and how to create the charter, how to put together resolutions and many, many things. So, with videos and PowerPoints and so on and so forth. So, but again, you know, it is kind of difficult to really push these people along to make them to do what they have to do. But again, everybody is, you know, struggling for survival. I mean, things have really gotten way out of hand, economically speaking, and many other things. But all right, what's next?
That was the end of the question, Sean.
All right. Anybody, I thought we had someone in the queue, but I guess not. Anybody wants to get into the queue? The queue's empty right now. So, while we're waiting, let's see, Eric. I think I saw Eric here. Let me see. Is Eric still here? Yeah, there you go. Eric, I'm thinking of starting the Bible study, maybe not this Thursday, but the following Thursday. Does Thursday still look good?
It certainly does. That sounds great. I look forward to it.
All right. And, well, I think we were thinking at about 7:30 or something, right?
Yep, that's what we're thinking.
All right. Yeah, once I feel that I can get going on that, which I think will be not this Thursday, but next Thursday, I'll send out an email to anybody else that's interested in coming to that study and see where we go. Okay. All right. Anyway, we're back here to looking for a question or a comment or something to discuss. If anybody has an issue, you know, get into the queue and raise your issue, and we'll take it from there. I probably should prepare, because we had this problem last week in the beginning. We didn't have anyone in the queue. Probably should prepare something so that we have something to discuss if we don't have a question or a comment. Nobody's got anything, huh? Let me redo that. Again, anybody wants to get into the queue? I wish I had read up on that Federal Court Claims Act because that probably would have been something good to discuss. It's something new. At least it's new for me. I don't know if anybody else knows anything about it. Maybe they can enlighten us a bit if they do. So,
what did you say the name of the rule was that the judge cited where we lost yet another one of our rights accordingly?
I think it was Rule 61.
Rule 61.
Yeah, let me put something to take a quick look at. Let me see if I can find it, too. Are you looking in the rules now?
No, I haven't started. I'm just writing it down.
Okay. Well, let me see if I can find that. Maybe we can talk a little bit about that. Where are the rules? There it is. But, and the federal rules of, you know, civil procedure, they're just rules. I mean, they're nothing more than rules. A rule is a guideline. It's not the law. You can't, they do it anyway. They have abrogated law by rule. You know, we've gotten rid of the common law by coming in with a rule to create a civil law process. And the courts have been taken over with civil law. And, of course, that's a major problem. So, let's see if we can find this. Control F. Let's try with RT. Let's try Ritz. I know it's down by 60 somewhere, I think. Or 51 or 61. Let me see if I go with that one. Again, Q&A is open. Anybody wants to get in? And let's try 51 here.
And you said, he said that the judge said this was our right to enter paperwork?
I'm sorry?
Did you say that this rule...
It got rid of writs, the sovereign writs is what it did.
The sovereign writs. Okay, thank you.
I was totally unaware of this, but again, I have never read through all of the rules. I mean, it bores you to tears anyway. It bores me to tears anyway.
Yeah, it's terrible. Who cares? It doesn't really apply to us anyway.
Yeah, but it's good to know what it is that they got in there, you know? I mean, I didn't realize they had this in there. And, of course, it has nothing to do with us, and that would be, you know, the big response. Bills of writs abolished. The following are abolished. Bills of review, bills in the nature of bills of review, and writs of quorum nobis, or quorum vobis, and this last one I never even heard of, audiata per rule. I don't even know what that one is. But in any event, the quorum nobis is the writs of the sovereign. That's the power and the authority of the sovereign in the court to write those writs, and they're not available to be done anymore. So that's a major problem. Let's see if I can open this other thing up. Okay, I see someone came into the queue. I'll be with you in a minute, John. But let me just quickly look for this law here. I want to look on the...
Yeah, I think that would be audit complaint, I think, is, or something similar. The Audita Corella. Carella.
Oh, okay. Well, however you pronounce it, eh? Okay, let's see. What am I looking for? Dictionaries. It's ABCD, dictionaries, Black's Law Force, Control, Find, Control, V. No, what's that? I don't know what that is. Control V. Okay, the name of a writ constituting the initial process in an action brought by a judgment defendant to obtain relief against the consequences of the judgment on account of some matter of defense or discharge arising since its rendition and which could not be taken advantage of otherwise. So I have to look a little deeper than that, but that's the general point that they've got here. Initial process in an action brought by a judgment defendant to obtain relief against the consequences of the judgment. That's interesting. I have to look up some examples on that. You know, again, just because they say we can't use it doesn't mean we're not going to use it, because we are going to use these writs anyway. And, you know, I've already got a response going back into this court. You know, there is a consequence for the plaintiff, because he's been threatened numerous times with sanctions, and we're not sure exactly what kind of a sanction they may apply upon him. And, you know, we keep doing things that are not the usual things done in the court, and this judge is not too happy at all, not at all. And so he's constantly threatening. But we'll see where we're going to go with that. Okay. Let's go take a couple of questions, I guess. We have a few people. We'll take the first person, John, from Michigan, it looks like. Go right ahead, John. How you doing, John?
Oh, pretty good. Hey, I'm trying to get on a computer, and it won't let me on. Just to let you know that the queue is not working on my computer anyway, so that might be why some people are not getting on.
Hmm.
I had to go to the phone to get on, so.
Oh, no kidding. As we're talking... Everybody should mute themselves. Well, I don't want to change over now. Maybe once we finish off with who is in the queue. I see Ross is in the queue. Looks like he's on a computer. But we'll open up the mics and see if anybody else has that problem, too. But do you have any questions or a comment?
After everything that happened in Hawaii, I'm wondering if our members in Hawaii, that lady ones always calls, I'm wondering if she was Lanai, maybe if she was affected by the fire storm over there.
Yeah, I'm not sure what island she was on out there. Matter of fact, Jen, do you think you could look her up? Do you recall her? And see if she's in Maui?
What's her name?
I don't remember. Let me think. Do you remember her name, John?
I don't know off the top of my head. I know she's a teacher, and she got she was contesting the COVID lockdowns, and then they fired her. I'm not sure what all happened on the thing, but you know, I mean, she was calling in every week, and
yeah, we haven't heard from her in a couple of weeks now, so I'm looking up to see if maybe her name is up on the board here. So Hawaii, and. No, Eli, matter of fact, I think she's in Honolulu, because I think this is the group that they started out there.
In Oahu, then, yeah.
So,
what exactly have you heard, John? About, I mean, what's happening in Maui? What happened to Lanai? I mean, this is, I've watched a bunch of videos, and it looked like they just marked out literally individual houses and burned damn things down. I mean, and killed a whole bunch of people and won't admit anything.
It's a total mystery and a total horror story. They have said nothing. They give no. It's like a total blackout. Nothing coming out. The only thing you have is a few people that are reporting on the ground. One guy that's been pretty active. I heard that they put some charges up against this guy, and he's been pretty active on trying to get the information out. I've heard that there's as many as 800 children missing. Then I heard 1,000 children. I have no idea what kind of numbers involved. Then I heard that there's 3,000 people missing altogether, and I have no clue. But, you know, this is just everything is hearsay at this point, and it's pretty alarming.
I mean, completely gutted. I mean, but right next, I mean. Right next to a burnout house, there's big houses, there's big buildings that are not touched at all. I mean, they had boats. They had, honest to God, boats burned in the harbor. How does a wildfire jump to a boat?
Well, what you discover, if you look around, anything that's blue, a house with a blue
right.
A blue roof, okay, turns out that these, if they were doing something with a ray coming from space, let's say, that the blue seems to be ignored, and there has been some houses they show with blue roofs that are totally untouched, and there are items out there that are blue that you know, everything is burnt and destroyed in the house, but whatever is blue is not. So it's kind of strange, and again, there's not much information coming out. And I know Gerard was talking about some stuff last week, and he had some information. I did look into that, and I was talking with him about it. I don't feel comfortable with the individuals he was getting the information from, and he said he was going to try to dig down to see where they got their information, you know, because we have to be careful how we put information. There's a lot of BS out there, a lot of people that exaggerate and add things to and so on. And, you know, the same thing is the problems with the law here. You know, we have problems with people on the Internet giving a lot of bad advice on things to do and get people in trouble, you know. But anyway, yeah, I have no information. I've heard nothing. Total blackout. I can't believe that they're getting away with this the way they are. You know, nobody in government anywhere is making us think about this, you know. At least not that I've heard of.
Well, you know, a couple of years ago when I had the similar fires in California, I saw pictures there of trees burning from the inside out.
Yeah, I saw that too, yeah.
And I mean, and you saw, I mean, cars, the glass melted on them and the aluminum wheels melted. I mean, that's 2,700 degrees, which is twice as hot as any forest fire. And there were no trees burned, for gosh sakes. And I'm flabbergasted. I'm flabbergasted. I really am. It's does anybody know what the population of Lanai was like that? How many people were there?
Wasn't it Maui? Is that the name of the? But what's the name of
the? Maui is the island.
Maui.
Yeah, Maui, and was it Lahaina? The city that was burned up. There was an old city there with a lot of native population of Hawaiians in it, and.
That was one of the largest cities in Maui. I think it was around 11,000. I saw a number some time ago.
Right. But I mean, if you watch the videos of the drones flying over the things, I mean, they're just block after block after block of houses burned. Not just burned. I mean, right down to the foundation, just powder left.
I know they were not permitting those things for a while. And so they now have, drones are able to go up, and maybe there's certain areas that they can't go to. What I understand, anyway.
I watched one drone footage, and it flew. It explained where they were going on the thing, but it basically flew a pattern through the thing, and you know, it pointed out this house or that house or this street, and you know, I mean, just hundreds of cars burned right down to the wheels, and there were people in those cars. That's the crazy part about it. I mean, what happened to them? How can you know? And the water was shut off. They shut the water off. They shut the power off too. And then they said they blamed it on the electrical company.
And the cops were preventing people from escaping. And
yes,
people who could go through the blockage, they were saved. But you know, I heard a lot of people drowned out there, and some people were in the water eight plus hours, and well, many of them drowned. Not many survived that long. But, I mean, no boats came over, no Coast Guard. I mean, it was weird. No assistance in any way. They just let the place burn. So, yeah, I'm not...
Huh? There was no water. They had the water shut off. They shut the water off a couple hours before it happened.
Yeah, that's what I heard, too. And it was some kind of a strange... reason why they did that. It didn't even make sense. It was so stupid I can't even remember. I'm not seeing a breakdown particularly of any particular areas in Hawaii as far as population is concerned. I mean, so I don't know what the population is.
I think they have two representatives in Congress, which is, you know, is what, less than 500,000 or whatever.
And I wonder why they're not making some big noise about this. What the hell's wrong with them people? You know? I mean, that's pretty sad.
Well, and then Biden went over there and said, yeah, I almost lost my Corvette. You know what I mean? I guess one other question, I had nothing to do with that, but is there any way that we can enforce any of the writs of habeas corpus or the other things we've got on file? I mean...
It doesn't look good until after, you know, the arrest takes place. You know, we've tried so much in the courts. It's just, they don't want nothing to do with the people coming into the court to try to get any justice. This is anything. They just maintain the status quo, and that's that. So.
Nothing further on the Supreme Court, the filings we put in the Supreme Court, where they just...
Well, last time we sent anything out, again, they sent back, and, you know, we haven't heard anything back from the military. We copied a couple of the militaries, we haven't heard anything. So, but not a big surprise, but again, you know, it's a record to be made, and you know, this proves conspiracy and subversion. You put it all together, and that really is the reason behind all of our paperwork, mostly, you know, with the hope of trying to get some of these things through. I mean, we've had a couple of things go through, but not much. I don't know about a breakdown of the population in different islands and what the population might be out there, but it is pretty alarming that nothing is really being said about what's going on now. Hawaii's got two senators, and they even have Congress representatives. I don't know, how many did they have in Congress, do you know?
I'm not sure. I mean, the smallest states always have at least two, okay? They got two senators, one, I should say. One representative, depending on the population, and then...
Yeah, I'm sure they have a lot. I'm sure they have more than one, but in any event, you got two senators, and like you say, one or two... So I haven't heard any of those people talking, you know, nothing at all.
Right.
I don't know what to say on that. So.
Well, it's discouraging. I keep a positive attitude and keep moving forward. It's just discouraging, and you know, I guess we all need some a kick in the butt or some encouragement or something going on. And I guess I'm going along.
I see Gerard's in here now. Maybe he's got some news on that. I don't know how long you've been in here, Gerard, but we were talking about Hawaii and what was going on in that island. I think it was Maui. And, you know, any other news, real news that come out that we can rely on. I mean, you know, I know there's some hearsay stuff out there, but I'm not too comfortable with what I've heard so far in the hearsay end. You there, Gerard?
Must not be.
Yeah, well, he's there. He's got his mic muted. Maybe he's talking to himself.
Do you know if you have a sat phone? Could you talk to people over in Hawaii if that's the case?
I have no idea. Well, I think, I don't know.
If they have a sat phone and you have a sat phone, you could talk.
Okay.
Right. I'm wondering if they're, obviously they're not letting the media.
You fell away from your mic. Could you get closer, John?
Pardon?
Can you get closer to your, well, you're on a phone. Could you get closer to your?
I'm on the phone,
Yeah, you kind of fell away. You got very low.
First of all, Hawaii is a very center of evil. They do it. There was human trafficking going on there, all kinds of stuff. The deep state was very active. They wanted, one of the reasons for this fire was because they wanted to put everybody in smart cities, and they, you know, Hawaii hasn't been selling lands forever. My parents owned a house there back in the 50s. You know, my father was in the military. He was stationed there. We were on Oahu, which is the Big Island, I believe. But even back then, you could only get a 50-year renewable lease on the land. There was some actions where the Hawaiian natives sued the government and they had to give them back some of the land. You know, Hawaii was never really made a state in a legal manner. We just took it over. We just bullied them and took it over. So there's a faction there that wants to go back to the original Hawaii because we didn't follow the steps necessary to make it in statehood. You know, I mean, you can, if you're at war with somebody and you're in an area and you take over, that's one way through attrition, but we were not at war with them. You know what I mean? So anyway, there's some question about the legality of it being a state, you know, America. Most of them like being a state because they like the benefits they get from America, but at some point they're going to have to put it to a vote. So, but that, all that being said, there's a lot of elite there. There's a lot of elite pedophile child traffickers over there. And people such as Oprah Winfrey, who is a horrible, evil person.
She's got a blue-painted roof.
Yeah, that's another thing. All the places that were blue didn't burn. And strangely enough, most of the celebrities' homes are painted. The roof is blue, you know. And that directed energy weapon laser that they believe started the fires does, you know, it resists the blue resists it. So that's all going to come out. I mean, that, you know, they at first they acted like you were crazy if you said that, but now looking at the pictures and looking at some of the stuff of things that were not burned in between everything that was burnt, and it is strangely enough, things like blue cars and things didn't burn. And one of the most strange things is like you got a car that's completely burned to a crisp, and right next to it is another car. It's blue. The tires aren't even burned. Nothing. You know, I don't know if you've ever seen a car burn, but they burn viciously. You know? So I don't know. Unless that, the only thing that burned is with the laser hit directly, you know what I mean? So
I just found out why nobody's talking about it that's representing them. They're all Democrats. Two representatives in two different districts are Democrats right here. And these are the senators, the two senators. And the two representatives are both Democrats also. So I guess they were told to shut up and not say nothing, not do nothing, let the people burn and let them die and take the land and whatever it is they want to do with it. That's my presumption.
Well, that's what's going on. They want the land. This is about a land grab. But it's not going to work. And I have some pretty, you know, reliable people that claim that the military's working over there. They claim that, you know, they said that FEMA was shooting and killing people, but it wasn't FEMA. It was people dressed up in police uniforms and in FEMA uniforms. There are these NGOs that work for the New World Order, kind of, you know, and they're, even in January 6th, there was a bunch of them around that were, you know, paid by George Soros, whoever else hired them, to, you know, make like a riot. Well, those same kind of people were over there operating. And, you know, you had that one police officer that stopped all the cars from on the one path out and sent them back when the fire was coming. And many, many people died because of that. One guy survived because he disobeyed, and he went around and ran the roadblock, basically. But they're claiming that that wasn't even a real police officer, that those people were just dressed up and put there to make sure the destruction was full. So that's all going to come out, and it's all being investigated, I'm sure that there's going to be tribunals, you know, probably military tribunals, you know, when it's all said and done. Because if you listen to Derek Johnson, and he talks about how we are under a military control and Trump is the commander-in-chief, and he makes some pretty good arguments to those claims. And so if that's the case, the military is investigating, and they have everything. They have every email, every phone call, everything ever typed on a computer, because the way the NSA is set up, and it's unconstitutional, but they have it. We put it in when we put the Patriot Act in. So, but basically, that's been turned against the deep state, and that's a problem that they have now, that they don't have control over that system. And that system is going to hang them now. And when Trump came into office, the national security, there was an arm of the military. The military asked him to run. I know you probably heard those stories,
right,
you know,
right.
Because they were ready to come in and take over Obama, because Obama was so treasonous. Instead, but they didn't want to do it. So instead they asked Donald Trump to run, because they really need a civilian representative of the people, and that would be, you know, the commander-in-chief and the president. So, but anyway, they gave him all the information on how the election was hacked. They had how it left the country, the electronic, you know, hacking that went on, and that was only part of it. You know, the ballot stuffing was another part of it. And they actually, the military actually had everything. Even, you know, I know you must have heard the Thousand Mules, where they tracked their cell phones.
Right, right.
And they said, and they were saying, oh, no, you can't do that. Well, yes, you can, because they do it all the time. They find lost people in mountains with their cell phones. It's a very accurate thing. However, Trump had that information from the NSA, because they had everybody's cell phone in the area of those drop boxes, so they could prove who was there and where and everything. He wouldn't use it, though. And the reason he wouldn't use it is because he's constitutional. He said, listen, if I bring this to court with this information that you're giving me, he said, you watch how fast the other side turns constitutional. They'll say, you didn't get that right. You didn't have a warrant, man. And that's exactly what they would say. So what he did was, based on the information they gave him, he knew who they were and where they were. So what he did is he made sure that he went and his teams went, and they got the subpoenas and they got the warrants to spy on these people based on evidence that they had uncovered. And so that's why there's so many sealed indictments. People don't even realize. I heard today that, you know, that there was over 500,000 sealed indictments, and it may go as high as 1 million before they're done. And that's everybody.
What are they waiting for?
Well, they're waiting for certain things. You see, this is a worldwide thing. It's not just America. They're coordinating this worldwide. This cabal runs the banking industry, the money, and they've been in control for many hundreds of years. And so they have to coordinate everything, and they're going to take them out worldwide. This is the whole world that's going to go down with this. Because all these other countries are sick of this cabal. They've been running them worse than us. You know, everybody else only had a fractional reserve, no pun intended, of the freedom that we had. So things are a lot worse in all these other countries as far as the deep state goes. But all these leaders got together and are working together to bury this cabal and get out of the fiat money system. So until I had heard that they were looking for 80% of the people to be awake, that they wanted, and they said that we're not quite there yet, that 80% of the people, where they'll accept when we, you know, look, we're going to go under martial law at some point, because a lot of it, because you cannot go after this cabal in using the system, because they have used China money and Ukraine money, and they own every politician, every judge, every prosecutor. This is in America, but throughout the world. So if you try to put them through our courts and try to get justice, look, we're look at us beating our heads to death in the courts. You can't do it. It has to be a military operation. And when you do a military tribunal, you don't get the benefit of all the delays and the things that you can do in a regular court. It's different. It's like when you're on a ship and they have to walk the plank. They, you know, there is not an endless extension of time to do this and that. You answer the charges, and you're either guilty or innocent, and then you're hung, or you know, at nightfall or in the morning or whatever. They're going to have to do that because we'd never get through it otherwise. And so, of course, you know, everything that Trump spent the whole time he was in office. They watched him with his election. They had everything down pat. You see, they cheated even when he won. He overwhelmed their algorithms. They weren't ready for him. So he knew when he ran the second time, they knew they were going to cheat so bad. And so they went ahead and set a bunch of traps up ahead of time. And this is what you're going to hear. When it does spring out, you're going to see all the evidence they have against these people. And it's going to be unbelievable. Even some of the stuff that they've hid from us, the technology, and just, you know, a lot of people are going to have a hard time accepting how bad their governments have lied to them. Everything they told us is a lie, everything, and worse than you can imagine.
So, well, in Muskegon, Michigan, I just read there's a city of about 27,000, and some lady walked into the clerk's office just before the election with 10,000 ballots, those pre-printed ballots. You know,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
And a city of 27,000, it was like three times what it could possibly even been. Okay, and so she reported to the authorities. You know, and there's an investigation going on that right now. But I mean, just one woman walked in, and it was a lot of the ballots were signed, obviously, by the same person, whatever like that. But they're all. They're going to put in 10,000 ballots, and I mean that's three times what the normal voting population was in the city, for God's sakes.
Yeah, they really went crazy. They lost control. They really, you know, they're used to not having to answer to anybody, and so they really and they also had this vitriol hatred of Trump, and that pushed them even harder to do stupid things to make sure he didn't get in. But the fact of the matter is they know that he won the popular vote. They have the proof. So it's all going to come out. It's almost ready now. I don't, you know, what are they waiting for? Well, I think they're pretty much ready. I don't think that you're going to see another election because they can't look at the whole Biden administration is null and void. What are you going to do? Put another null and void administration over top of it? I mean, they already got to recall everything that they've done, the damage they've done. And there's a point that when you have a certain knowledge of stuff, even if you're running a sting operation, you do not have the option of putting innocent people at risk. You do not have the option of killing, you know, innocent children, women and children. And that's exactly what they've done. And they know what they're doing. So if they're going to bring up another pandemic, that whole thing was a Trojan horse. That whole thing was designed to kill us. And we know that now. We know that, you know, it was not a vaccine. It was a bioweapon. and they're whipping up another one. So to me, that's a good marker of when it's going to happen. They cannot let them do it again. You know what I mean? Because anybody that takes that shot, especially children, and dies from it, you look at Trump will be on the hook for that. They can't allow that, you know. So
Trump was the one that put together Operation Warp Speed and generated it.
I understand that, but that's they told him that's before we knew that it was a bioweapon, and he never took that shot. You know, he took hydroxychloroquine, and that's considered a vaccine. And he said, I took the vaccine. Look at what they're showing you on television. They could show you anything. I could make a movie of you killing somebody and raping somebody, and it's not even you. You can't go by what they're showing you because it's CGI. I mean, they have such powerful, you know. So they show you what they want you to hear. You know what I mean?
You're preaching to the choir. I'm just disgusted with. I mean, what, you ever see that picture of the two vultures saying, "Patience, my ass, I'm going to kill somebody." Okay.
Yeah. That's where they want everybody. See, you're awake, so that's why you don't have the patience anymore. But some people are just waking up like today, and believe it or not, I mean, some people will never wake up. You know what I'm saying?
By the way, the rules in the Federal Court of Claims, okay, also has done the same thing as the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure in the federal courts have done, and that is the bills of writs have been abolished right here. The following are abolished. Bills of review, bills in the nature of bills of review, writs of coram, coram nobis, quorum vobis, and the other one we were just looking at, we looked up, arterior, however you pronounce that. So all of the writs, and all of the writs fall underneath that name. Writs of error, all of them.
Habeas corpus, too?
Well, not habeas corpus. Habeas corpus is not necessarily a writ per se. Well, I guess it is. There is a writ, which is an order, but it's not. It's something. It's constitutional.
Habeas corpus is the Constitution,
The problem.
You know,
huh?
All of those constitutions, you know, they say something like, I know Michigan's does, that, you know, you've got the misdemeanors and the felonies and all that, and they've combined them all together with the common law and that stuff like that. But it also says on there that, you know, I'm not exactly sure how it's exactly worded, but, you know, unless it's been abolished, they can't abolish the common law, okay? And all those writs are common law.
Well, they've done that.
Yeah, they can go pack sand, okay? I mean,
They got the guns, though. That's the problem.
Hey, John, what's the rest of that Rule 61 up there? I can't see it. It's on the bottom left column. It says harmless error. What's the rest of that? The language?
This is the rules of the Court of Claims, okay? So, but what are you talking about here, somewhere?
Right on the bottom. Wait a minute. You moved it now. Harmless error, right there. What is there? Does that continue on the top?
Yeah. If the left justice requires otherwise, no error in admitting or excluding evidence or any other error by the court or the party is grounds for granting a new trial, for setting aside a verdict, or for vacating, modifying, or otherwise disturbing a judgment or order. At every stage of the proceeding, the court must disregard all errors and defects that do not affect any party's substantial rights. They have the same kind of rule in the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure also. But the key thing here is substantial rights. That's where, under those circumstances, they can't disregard it. Then.
Right.
I've already held that position in court, but they don't care. They just don't look at it. If it makes common sense, they don't want any part of it.
So every time you put a writ of error in one of your paperworks, they could technically sanction you.
Well, they could because you're breaking a rule, but, you know, again, I start off that the rules are meant to be broken to begin with, and that the rules are not law, and the rules are null and void because of Rule 2. You know, Rule 1 nullifies Rule 2, which nullifies all the rules. So basically, and I don't know that it's called Rule 1, but the beginning of that act required. Matter of fact, let's open it up. I think I have it open right now. Where's the claims? No. I guess I lost it, but I can open that up. Matter of fact, we should do that. Are we done, John? Because we have two other people.
I'm sorry I took so much time, but yeah, I mean, if one and one is three, then two and two is six, okay?
Yeah.
If. So, I mean, if they're starting right off with a bad thing, everything that they're doing is fraud and is vitiated. It's
right, it's the fruit of the poisonous tree. You know, that's what it's understood for in law. And, right. If there's one thing that's a problem, the whole thing goes into the trash can.
All right. Well, hey, thank you, guys. I'm listening to somebody else in here, but I'm hopefully the computer thing is fixed up. But I had to go to phone, so I'll let you go.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, before we take our next question here, let me just quickly read this. And we've read this before. It's good to read, and it's subsection 2072, which is the beginning of the rules of the court that Congress put in here. And it says, the Supreme Court shall have the power to prescribe general rules of practice and procedure and rules of evidence for cases in the United States District Court, including proceedings before magistrate judges thereof and Court of Appeals. Now, before I even read any further from that, it doesn't say that it's law, because it's not law. They're not Congress. They can't make law. But it's general rules of practice and procedure. That's what it is, okay? But it goes on in Section B, such rules shall not abridge, enlarge, or modify any substantive right. All laws in conflict with such rules shall be of no further force or effect after such rules have taken effect. Now, I already took that out and put it into the court case, made that point, and put it on to the judge, and the judge ignored it and still applies the rules. And, because, again, they do what they want. They're just evil people. I don't know what else to say.
Oh, so you can't, it's almost like you can't participate.
You can't come in as a sovereign. You're a slave, ultimately.
Right, that's right.
You have no substantive rights to begin with. So they can't break anything because you don't have substantive rights. I mean, that's really what it boils down to be. All right, let's take some questions and we'll see what else we have here. Ross, you got the mic? Go right ahead, I think. Was it? No, he doesn't.
Somebody else dropped out, but that's okay.
Okay, let me get Ross. Ross, you should be open now. No, you're not. Let's try it again. Okay, Ross, you got the mic now.
Okay, I just registered to be a grand jury administrator. Who's my state coordinator for Oregon?
What about the state coordinator for Oregon?
Yes, who's the state coordinator for Oregon, the state of Oregon?
We don't really have state coordinators at this point. We only have district coordinators. And you'd have to go to our page here. Let's see. Let me open the tab here. Open the link in another tab. Okay, here we go. Oregon, let's see, right now, I don't know if they're active at this point, but Oregon is in District 1, and that would be someone named John.
John just resigned.
Okay, well, we don't have anyone at the time. What are you looking for?
See, Addis took over the position of District 1 and 2.
Who took over District 1 and 2?
Ed.
Ed? Oh, Ed.
Yes.
He's the most active one we have.
That's why he took over John's position for right now.
We just don't have enough people to do the job we do, so we're kind of stuck in a rock and a hard place at this point and looking for money and looking for more volunteers.
See, I think this is why a lot of people don't be active in being district coordinators because they want to be paid. They don't want to do the volunteer part.
Well, look at, you know, if people want to leave, it doesn't come for free. And eventually, it has to become a paid position. There's no getting away from that. But until it becomes paid positions, you would think we'd have enough people interested in doing something to step up You know, I hear a lot of people complain, but they don't do anything, you know. I can give you a list of 1,000 people that are complainers, and they won't do nothing. Not a thing. They want something. That way, you know.
Yes, I could be the problem. I'm already a CS leader, meaning the county organizer for Clackamas County. So no one's the state level coordinator. Anybody I could offer, so I was struggling to set up the community safety.
Well, we're not. You're saying that you could do something as a state coordinator? Is that what you're saying?
Because they say the state coordinator has to contact you for be a jury administrator, the grand jury administrator.
Well, that may have been something old way back when we were doing this, and we had a lot of people taking a lot of positions, but, you know, they just, again, you know, people just don't stick in with things, and again, they get back to training. I mean, it's problematic, and it is what it is. And you know, look, at we have a structure and a plan to save this nation. It's all laid out here, and it's just a matter of people taking the positions to do so. Now, on the grassroots level, I don't think we'll have a problem getting people to organize once you get them to notice what we're doing and understand what we're doing. You know, anybody building with Committee of Safety can get that going. The problem is that they don't really push themselves to get a proper education. They may end up doing more harm than good, because you've got to come in with an understanding of the Constitution as a basics, just as a basics.
Yes.
We kind of stayed away from state coordinators because, first of all, it became very difficult to control them. And we had a lot of them, or a couple of them, that really went. And also, a lot of them, they just don't put the time in. They put their phone numbers up there, and you call them, and they don't answer. So that's a problem. If they're being paid, they either answer or get fired. It's that simple. That's why we have to go professional. And we're definitely not going to go with 50 states. Maybe in the future, we might have to go with 50 state coordinators. That's a possibility, but I don't think so. I think we can deal with this with maybe somewhere between 20, 30, maybe 40 district coordinators, and probably even less than that. Maybe we can do this job with 10 district coordinators. We broke the area up into 10 districts, but maybe we do need 10 district coordinators, and that would be sufficient. But, again, you know, we're out.
Yeah. Just today, I just registered to be the grand jury administrator. Sign up.
All right, anybody that wants to be a jury administrator, they've got to go through all the courses. And I know you've been through a lot of them. I know you're in the court access and the common law one, which is the most important one. There's an administrative course we put up there also. And eventually we will put testing. I just don't have the time to do it. And I'm looking for volunteers, people that maybe have a teaching background or something. We need to write tests for the court access and common law courts. Each chapter we should break up into tests where people can take those tests, and that would prove the fact that they have gone through the entire course. Because, look, if you want to support someone that's running for office, and we eventually get to the point where we require them to have proper education and require them to take at least that one course. And if they take that one course, we want them to prove that they took that one course. We want them to go through to take a test. And they can take the test over and over again until they pass it. That's fine. But we still need to know that they took it. And especially with the administrators, as far as the administrators are concerned, which would be one, you know, a couple, three or four, four to five for each county, because we want at least one paralegal, and they too would be an administrator. So, but they all would need to take the course also and make sure that they pass the test. We just don't have the test available yet.
Don Josh, on the job training position, what is that? You made any plans for that on the dog training?
What position?
It's the grand jury administrative position.
All right. What's the question on that one? Do we have?
Oh, it says the position of jury administrator is an on-the-job training position.
On-the-job training. Well, yeah, anybody taking the position would be on-the-job training, especially, and they all have to be taking all the courses, and they could be taking the courses as they're on the job because, you know.
Oh, that's what you mean by that. Okay.
To be ignorant people to be on it and ignorant, you know, bar attorneys to be on it. So they're damaging and they have no common sense, and common sense ultimately is damaging them. But yeah, on-the-job training is going through the courses as you're working, and you need to be progressing along, and that would be monitored when you get to that point. And people who are, you know, in taking those positions, and if they're not moving along on their course, they'll be questioned about that and pushed along. And if they don't, then maybe someone else will take their position. But you know, it would be a wrongdoing to put person into that kind of a power and authority, and be uneducated and do more damage than good because of their ignorance. So, you know, we have to have at least a certain amount of an education.
Okay, I'm done.
Okay, thanks, Ross. Okay, Bob Baru. Let's the next person. Let's put the button here. Bob, you got the mic. Go right ahead. What state are you in, Bob?
I'm in Texas.
Texas.
I had a couple of videos from the courtroom, and one of the ladies that was talking got shut down by the judge. One of my friends was sitting on the other side of the courtroom and said, "Let her speak." And I've got video of the sheriff getting up and arresting him for saying that. And things have devolved to the point where he tried to serve papers on the judge, the sheriff, and the bailiff. He gave them to a chief deputy that had been doing it for like 30 years to serve the papers. He did not get the papers. The chief deputy did not get the papers stamped by the district court. And now my friend's in, after satisfying one bond of $110,000, he's now in on $550,000 bond.
For what?
Let her speak, and that could have been me.
So that's what's that, contempt of court?
Well, it doesn't matter what it is. I mean, that's really, you know, just way out of line. I mean, come on. You know,
they can only hold you for so much with contempt of court.
But even with putting a bond on someone, my goodness, 500, did you say 500,000?
550,000.
550,000. I mean, they know, they do this, look at, the common person can't deal with that kind of a situation. You know, especially where the economy is today, very few people really, you know.
This guy's father is one of the commissioners on the court, and his mother is the county clerk that handles elections.
You're talking about the person who was arrested?
He's in jail. He's been there since.
Yeah, but you said, is that his mother, you said, working there?
She is an elected official. She is the county clerk. She handles all the paperwork for the county.
And she's his
mother? And his father is he's the longest serving commissioner. He's the only conservative one on the bench. And it just seems like they're trying to remove anybody that's demonstrably Christian and could be a leader that would stand up and rally folks, you know, when the things get way worse.
Right. Well, our entire government has been weaponized against the people. And that's what people need to see, and that's what people are starting to see. And that's pretty much what Gerard was talking about, with, as far as wakening the people up. It's got to get to a certain point. And, you know, I heard 70, 80% also myself somewhere in other places. And, You know, but and we're very close if we're not already there, because people are waking up to see. But, you know, again, I don't know if they're woken up enough. You know, I guess the pain's got to get worse, you know?
Well, look, every time they do something stupid like this, you get that many more people awake. They're their own worst enemy after doing this. And I mean, it's like every time they do something to Trump, what happens is popularity goes up. So, you know, I don't know what this guy can turn it into, but you know, they need to tie his case to like that, saying that they're trying to make an example out of him because his, you know, they don't like his parents' politics, who are officials, and. You know, see, you would think that they got a little sway, a little political sway. They were elected. They must have people. They must have a constituency in order to get elected in that town. And well, that's the only way he's going to win, is he got to rally people behind him.
What is this in, by the way?
Smith County Commissioner's Court.
What is that? What is a commissioner's court? It's not a state court, is it?
Yep. This is the other thing. They call themselves a constitutional court with legislative and judicial duties. And I've talked to our DA, I talked to the Attorney General's representative, who's also a lawyer for the court, to explain it to me. And all they come up with is case law. And there's no way you can swear an oath to be in a court that has jurisdiction.
This particular case sounds like something that is a local situation that federal courts may not feel that they have to defend. So they should move it to federal court for cause. It's a violation, a constitutional violation. So that's really their only option.
So the reason he's in this most recent time is he served papers on the sheriff, the judge, and the bailiff. And the person that he got to serve those papers was a retired chief deputy for like 3 decades, and he knows how to serve papers. The papers weren't stamped, and now he's in jail for this $550,000 bond. So he and his brother's a retired police officer in Smith County, and they are the sharpest tacks I've ever seen. And, you know, they're trying to pursue this, you know, with the common law thing.
Well, tell them to move it to federal court for cause. That's their only option. I don't see any other option.
You know, if the papers weren't stamped, then they weren't served.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. They're doing what they want. They don't care about the law. It doesn't mean anything.
I'm just saying they were of no consequence. How could they throw them in jail for papers that...
They stamped. What do you mean that they weren't stamped?
He didn't notarize them.
Is that what you're saying, by not being stamped, that the paper...
They have to get a stamp from the district clerk. The district clerk handles all the judicial offices, you know, the court cases and all that stuff.
So they weren't served in the right places, what you're telling me.
Again, no, problem of a process. No. That can't be... Again, they don't care about the law anyway. Look,
that's what I'm saying. It's just a process error, and they were of no consequence if that's the case.
Yeah, but the thing is, the stamping something that it's been received, because that's what it would be, dated received, and we have the stamp and the signature or something on it. I mean, that's only the fact that it's been filed. That's all that means. You don't have to, that filing, it takes place at the same time you're serving. I mean, whenever after I serve, I send it to the clerk, filing.
And what's to stop him from re-serving them?
Yeah, but that's not the point. The point is that the person's in jail for saying something in the courtroom.
Well, he bailed out on that one. That was only $110,000.
And again, these numbers are ridiculous also. I mean, $110,000 bail. What are they afraid that the guy's going to disappear? I mean, that doesn't even make sense.
So what you're saying is they put him in jail for filing papers? Is that what you're saying? What's the
most recent one? He is challenging the sheriff. He is challenging the judge, and he's challenging the bailiff.
I don't care. What's the crime? What's the crime? There's no law that says you can't challenge people. What's his crime? What are they holding him on? What kind of felony, misdemeanor, what? What's the crime? First of all, if you're serving papers, even if they're wrong, the most they could do is sanction you. They can't put you in jail. Unless the judge gives you an order not to file any paperwork like that, you disobey it. And then what they can do is they can hold you in contempt. And being held in contempt, there's no set time. That whole contempt thing is designed to get you to do something that you don't want to do. That's all contempt is.
If you do it, they're supposed to release you, I presume. But, Bob, what is the crime? What are they charging them with? Gerard's got a good question on that.
I'll find out some more tomorrow. I'll be going to court.
Well, tell them, look, their only way out of this situation is to move to federal court for cause. And tell them that they really need to understand what that means. There's lawyers that don't even understand what that means. It has nothing to do with the case itself. It has to do with the constitutional violations. That's the only thing. You got to move it to the federal court for cause. And so I can see numerous issues here in violating this. I mean, I don't even know if the court has any validity. I mean, I never even heard such a court.
Well, he's gone to two other courts subsequent to this arrest in the county commissioner's court for saying three words, let her speak. And I had my recorder on, and you couldn't even hear him say that, where everybody else...
I've never even heard of a county commissioner's court. That doesn't even make sense. I have no idea. It doesn't compute in my brain on anything that I can think of. I mean, I know everything anyway.
There's 254 of them in Texas. They basically handle the roads, dogs in the county. They pay the sheriff. They handle the jail. That's their function in Texas.
So it's the county court. They just got a crazy name for it.
County Commissioner's Court is what they call it.
Yeah. Like I said, it's the county court.
It's an administrative court, if that's the case.
But they got a crazy name for it, okay? So it probably is the county court. They just want to stick those other words in there. But if you go into the Constitution, you should find it in there, whether it's a court of law or not, by calling it a court of record.
Let me ask you something. Is the judge a judge, or is it one of the county commissioners sitting in that position?
No, he took our Constitution class before he got elected, and he doesn't really know anything. He was a fire chief, and he was on the city council. He's just gone through the hoops to get a better position, and he is actually, the court is totally chaotic now. He's violating state legislated law on public participation in meetings, and I've got one I'd like you to look at. It's got a six-letter link, but I can give you that.
Have you thought about calling the watchdogs?
The Edgar County Watchdog?
Yeah, because I think that... Go ahead.
I'm more of a watchdog than anybody in the whole county.
Yeah, but these guys have got a lot of success, and they really understand the law, and they understand the game. And, they've had some success, and I'm sure they've been out there helping other people, not just that one county. So, but that's another option. The Edgar County Watchdog, you might want to look them up and see if you can make contact with them and see what they can do to help.
Trust me.
Huh?
If there are any watchdogs out there, I know them because I go to more commissions, I go to more councils, and I go to more boards than the sum total of everybody else.
Yeah, but these guys are different than anything I've ever heard.
Well, give me a phone number and I'll call them.
Gerard, do you know what state Edgar County's in? Does anybody know what state Edgar County's in?
I don't know. I'd have to look back through my paperwork.
Yeah. I think it's Illinois? That's one I...
Well, they were going around and teaching people how to do it, were they not?
Edgar County Watchdogs. Yeah, they've been involved outside their county. Edgar County Watchdogs. They've got a Facebook, Small Town Watchdogs Search for Contact. They've got a Watchdogs YouTube, a Facebook. You can try to connect with them on Facebook. States Focus. Okay. Yeah, well, anyway, if you search on the internet, there's a lot of information on them. Edgar County Watchdogs. You should be able to contact them.
They got a website right there.
Is this the website?
Go down. It says Edgar County Watchdog website.
Yeah, that doesn't mean that there is one. But there is, okay. Illinois. Okay, Terry was right, Illinois. Rose Township.
That's 1 point.
1 point. You need 100, though, to pass. All right, anyway, you could search around and maybe they can help you. That's number one. Well, but definitely tell them to consider taking them to federal court. That'd be their fastest relief for this kind of a situation. It sounds like this whole system is really totally upside down, and even though you're going up against the status quo, it sounds like a local situation that I don't think the federal court would be interested in trying to protect, I presume.
Yeah.
You know?
There's a book called Smith County Justice that was written about 40 years ago, and I think we're still under the same situation now. The book has been banned, and it's very hard to find, but some people have copies.
What's the basic premise of the book?
It was about how crooked the sheriff and the courts are, and this was...
Is this the sheriffs in a certain area or sheriffs in general?
It was just the habit of Smith County and the the lineup of judges, well, sheriffs that we've had in the past. So, we had a 3-star general that ran for the judge of this court, He helps his veterans. One of the veterans stole the opposition's 8-foot by 5-foot sign the night before the election, and the general, 3-star general, that had to go to court for a felony of stealing, one political sign the night before the election, and they had 6 detectives from the police department on it, and it cost him $50,000 in court fees to not be thrown in jail for one of his veterans stealing a political sign the night before the election.
Well, it sounds like a county I wouldn't want to live in, huh?
It's that's just a fairly recent example, but this one takes the cake. For almost nothing. He's just standing up, this guy and his brother and their friends. They know common law. They've been studying it for quite a while. They're standing up to power, and the power is putting the wrecking ball on them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, anyway, those are two options that I would strongly suggest to run down and see where you can get with.
If I had a phone number for somebody, I'd do it.
But if they're knowledgeable in things, and basically the system and the courts, if they're knowledgeable, they should be able to understand how to deal with the federal court and going into court.
Well,
that really is the most powerful, in my opinion.
His mom's been an elected official for 10 years. His dad has been a commissioner, in the county court for like 12 years. And, they're doing everything they can to get him out, but he's still there. So, me Googling Watchdog when I was pretty much in charge of it at the original Tea Party. And it was sort of like a committee of safety. We had like 8 people showing up every week, certain people taking notes, other people, getting up and speaking and advising the court when they're making unconstitutional decisions. And it's really amazing how much unconstitutional stuff happens in an elected body. For example, this one building the height of COVID, to come in the building, you had to have a mask on, but in the court, you didn't. So the court is run by the judge, the building is run by the sheriff. So when you have one that says you have to wear a mask and the other says you don't, there's obviously a lot of confusion in our elected bodies and in the people that have to abide their wishes. So, you know, it's time for a house cleaning. And, well, and with our precinct chair things, we're making great progress on getting rid of the Speaker of the House of Texas. Park County was the 16th to censure him. And but that is being censured. I mean, you know, there's no media coverage on it at all. It's just totally within the parties and the precinct chairs of each county. So anyway, I don't know. It's getting late.
All right. Let me see if there's anybody else in the queue here. I don't think there is. Yep, you're the last one. All right, anybody else wants to get into the queue? If you're on the phone, star 6 and away. And by the way, let me just open up for open mic. Hang on a second. Okay, so I don't know if people have problems getting into the queue. Someone mentioned that there seemed to have been a problem, but now if anybody wants to pipe in, all they have to do is, you know, unmute themselves. If you're coming in on an app or anything, you should see your mic there. You just unmute it. Or if you're on a phone, star 6 and a 1 to unmute. So if anybody's got anything, the mic's open. Gerard, you got anything while we're waiting?
Nah. I got a million things, but I can't start now.
Yeah. Well, I've been watching. Let me see if I can find this page again. Let's see. The YouTube. There's a video here. Let me just pop it up here for right now. I'll throw it in here. I'm going to put this on our website soon, and I'm looking for another video. This video here, it's Colonel Douglas McGregor. And it's a two-month-old video, and he's being interviewed on Valuetainment by Patrick. I don't know how many people watch him, but he's got some great interviews. And in any event, this guy lays out exactly what is going on as far as the war is concerned. And so anybody interested in that, it's quite long. It's a little over 2 hours, but it is really very informative. I learned quite a bit. A lot of little details that I didn't know on what's really going on. So if anybody's interested in that, I'm going to post this up on our website. So, and there's another video of a, let's see what that other one was, Tucker Carlson interview with the Prime Minister of Hungary. And basically he said Trump's the only one that's going to be able to save the world ultimately. What's going on out there is going to really turn into nuclear war, and only Trump can solve it. I'm looking for that. And,
I'm surprised the Soviets haven't hit us with a nuclear bomb yet. All they've been poking at them. They're shooting bombs right into Russia now. Basically, NATO has declared war on Russia.
Yeah. Well, it's getting close and closer and closer. Something's got to break soon. And that would be a tripwire, I would imagine, for Trump to get involved, you know? Well, I didn't see this interview. This is Tucker. Maybe I did. Tucker Carlson also interviewed this guy, Colonel Douglas. That's another one. Mm-hmm. I'll post them up on our website. And there's that one where Tucker Carlson interviewed the... Prime Minister of Hungary. That was a real powerful one. And I'll post all three of them as soon as I get a chance. So. All right, anyway. Mics are open if anybody wants to pipe in. If not, I guess we'll close early tonight. I don't know.
Well, we ran late last week, so to answer everybody. We had so many people in there.
I'd like to ask one quick question.
Yeah, go right ahead.
September 1st, some laws came into effect in Texas. One of those that somebody called me about and asked me about was that if a car gets pulled over, everybody, you know, by the cops, everybody in the car, 17 and over, has to present an ID, and that just sounds unconstitutional to me.
Well, it most definitely is. Most definitely is. They can't really ask you. If they have no reason to ask you for your identification, they have no reason to ask you.
Yeah, if you don't meet the description of a suspect he's looking for, he has no right to go on a witch hunt. There have been many cases thrown out because of that.
By the way, here's another video. Patrick does some really good stuff, and Patrick from Valuetainment did this one also with General Flynn. And in this interview, General Flynn, when he was interviewing him and talking to him about things, and I forget exactly how it came up, but his answer was concerning, you know, why they're so worried about him and why they tried to silence him. He said, because I know where all the bodies are buried. That was his answer. It was pretty powerful. So another great interview. I'll get this up on our website. You know, try to do it maybe tomorrow, but it'll be up there as soon as I can. And there is another one that's really you gotta watch. And I'm looking for that one right now. And that's the one with Tucker Carlson interviewing the Prime Minister of Hungary. Powerful, powerful.
What tab do you put them under when you put them up, John?
Well, I'll probably. I'm not sure exactly. Let me see where we'll put them. Today's issues, probably put it there.
Right.
And I'm looking down. I think these interviews are mostly maybe for us. I don't remember, but no, it's not. Okay, here's some good, probably here. This is probably a good place to put it under interviews. And again, here's some more good videos. You know, anytime I put a video up there is because I really felt it was pretty powerful and they give some good information and details.
Where did you find that?
This is under today's issues, coming down to interviews right there.
Okay, I got you. Yep, yep.
Okay, now I could go to today's issues also. Let's see there. That's an interesting place. So maybe this is where I guess interviews would be the best place to put it. What do you think? Because they are all interviews.
Yeah.
So I'll put them under interviews. I'll put them here. Now, I'm looking for the one with the Prime Minister of Hungary, as I mentioned. I must have passed by it.
John Gerard, can you hear me?
Yep. Go right ahead.
This is Mike in Michigan. pertaining to when the unconstitutional courts come after somebody for any given reason, what would be the reason other than you have committed a crime?
Well, I'm not too sure exactly the question from the standpoint.
If they're coming after you, that they're disclosing or they're saying that you've committed a crime against their rules and regulations, statutes of code,
whatever. Are you talking about federal courts or any court?
I'm talking about any court coming after somebody.
Most of the problems people have to deal with on the local level really are code violations, which has nothing to do with we the people. So that's most of the problems. I mean, even for just carrying a weapon, they would try to get you to. We're talking with someone over the past couple of weeks who has a weapon charge on them, and you know, we gave them some thoughts and ideas, and again, you know, that's they didn't even do a you know, anything with the grand jury. They wasn't indicted, and yet he's facing a potential jail sentence, and you know, that's problematic. You know, anything as far as weapon charges with the federal government, all of that is unlawful and unconstitutional. They have no power or authority. They do that through the ATF and and they bring you into the federal courts. And, you know, I wonder what court they bring you into that, as a matter of fact. I wonder if they're bringing that into the tax court, being that it's the ATF that is the police force for the tax situation, you know, as far as the Federal Reserve is concerned. So,
well, I guess I was approaching this under the fact that basically another image of God has not been harmed, private property has not been harmed, and there is no legitimate there's no victim.
Right. Well, the thing is, it's all about control. It's all laws to control people, and they make up the laws to control people, and they're getting away with it, and so they fleece you more and more. There's money involved here, too. And it's really just priming for the next stage, you know, which is, really turning us into a communist or some kind of a, you know, radical government situation here. I mean, they're really escalating quite quickly.
If we can't, like you said, you're talking about moving into a federal court, and if we don't have any jurisprudence left.
Right. The reason why I say to move it, you see, the federal court, if you don't have a history there, I have a history to some degree, so I mean, whatever I do there, it may be problematic for them. But, you know, when you're a situation stuck in a lower court and you move it into federal court for cause, and if it's a situation where the federal court, you know, the judge doesn't feel that he has to maintain the status quo, okay, because that's where you run into problems. Every case I deal with goes up against the status quo. And so they're not going to allow that through. It's just a big battle. But to the extent that this is a local situation with really some extreme situations involved here in a court that doesn't even have the power to do what they're doing, it seems, that, you know, if they're an administrative court, if they're not a court of law, they're not listed as a court of record, that's part of the case that could be made. Now, once you bring all this evidence and points into the federal court and you're looking for protection, okay, from these out-of-control courts, as long as the judge doesn't feel that it's necessary for him or her to maintain the status quo, you might get justice there. That's my point. You see, they're not going to deal with every single case in that fashion unless it's a status quo situation, okay, where they have to maintain the status quo. Again, this is kind of local BS stuff that's really problematic and is assaulting this individual ultimately.
But you made a point, John, that you've experience in the courtroom and what you do, and so that is what is cracking that sliver light shining through for justice, because you've been in their face and they understand what you're, you know, and they're hearing your complaints, through a regular being in front of the court. I mean, so you're saying that that's what's helped you the most, is being in their presence?
Well, again, what I'm doing is really making a record. Okay, that's
right.
What I'm doing. And, you know, when you take all the cases we've put together, and we've got hundreds, all of the things we've done in the courts, in the federal courts, state courts, many courts, it's all the same thing. It doesn't matter whether they're in New York, California, Hawaii. It doesn't matter where they're at. They're all executing the same process. That proves conspiracy, okay? That in itself proves conspiracy. And you have a situation where these are all constitutional, clear cut, okay? Common law issues that are clear and cut. And yet they still, do whatever they want to do. They maintain the status quo. So again, we have a purpose, and that's always been behind in my mind, is that, you know, I was hoping we'd get some justice somewhere as we moved along, and there was a couple places we did get it, but it's rare, far and in between, and we're talking about maybe two or three cases. But other than that, again, we've never really, I've never really thought that we'd have a lot of success in this. I've always thought about it as being making the case, building the case. Because and the last paper we filed in the federal courts going up to the Supreme Court, really, was ultimately a collection of 19 memorandums. And each one of those memorandums was a point to be made that is what the federal courts are doing that is destructive to the Bill of Rights, destructive to our sovereignty. And my point of that case, which I wrote a paper on, was really this is what the courts need to address and bring us back under in order for us to be back under the law again. And it really is as simple as really just getting rid of the federal rules of civil procedure and going back under the rules of common law, which is what all courts must be under, being that we are a common law republic, the only common law republic in the world, as a matter of fact. So being that we are that, that's where we have to get back to. So the rules of the federal rules have got to go. All those rules and all civil law has got to go. Yeah, they can have their equity and applied against those people operating under commercial activities or operating in federal or state agencies or county or some kind of a government agency. Well, that's what equity is for. That's what legislative law is all about. And we've empowered them in the Constitution, particularly under Article 1, Section 8, giving them, 18 powers, which includes the power to make law. And that also trickles down to all the states as far as the lawful ability for them to make law is only, again, for the commercial activities and whatever government agency activities are taking place within that state, okay? And counties can't make law, yet counties are legislating laws.
Coca-Cola said it.
That's another problem, So anyway.
Okay.
Well, I guess we've come
I hope
to.
I hope I filled a legitimate filling of a question here before rolling into the 11 o'clock hour.
Well, again, it's this is our battle, and we need the people to step up to make it their battle. Otherwise, then they're not concerned about having their liberty. Ultimately.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, John. Well, you and Jared have a good evening, and it was nice talking to you.
Okay, appreciate it. Thank you. Hi, we've come to the end of our program now. Anyway, it's 11 o'clock, so I guess next week I'll prepare something in case we have a situation where we don't have many questions, and I'll probably figure
it out. Is Jared still on the line?
Yep, Gerard's still here.
Yeah, I'm here.
Gerard, you might find this interesting, but I just asked a gentleman at one of our parades today locally here in West Michigan that I said, do you believe that, I asked a fellow veteran, an Air Force gentleman, I says, do you believe that our commander-in-chief is lurking in the shadows? Gerard, you hear that?
Yeah, and what did he say? You asking me, you asking
it was a National Guardsman, actually, and he kind of has a kind of like a smirk smile on his face, and then I walked away because he reached out to me like he didn't understand what I said. So I went back and he says, that's when I said, do you think that the real commander-in-chief is actually in the shadows out there someplace?
Derek Johnson actually touched on that. He said, if you ask somebody in the military, they're not allowed to tell you that because they're under, we're at war, basically. We're in World War III, whether you know it or not. We really are. Look, we've been attacked. The election thing was an attack. The pandemic was an attack. We've been attacked on so many levels. Our dollar's being attacked. Make no mistake about it. This is a multi-level war, and we're in the thick of it. So
yeah,
and they can't say anything, even if they knew, especially if they're special forces or something. you know,
yeah.
That's, you put them on the spot, you know. I mean, now you're starting to have certain politicians open up, and like McGregor's got to be careful because he's a retired general, and he's still under, you know, he has that clearance, that top secret clearance. Well, that follows him for life, and he can't be letting national secrets go. They could arrest him, so he has to be very careful how he says his words and what he says. And he's doing pretty good for, you know, for those parameters, and he's talking to Tucker Carlson and all that. So this interview is on YouTube.
Yeah, all of these interviews are on YouTube. I'm kind of surprised, but in any event, I found that this is the one where Tucker Carlson interviews the Prime Minister of Hungary. Okay, this was a really great interview. All these interviews are great. They're very informative. Fills in a lot of gaps, missing information. And especially what's going on in Ukraine. I mean, it really lays it out. Especially this guy here, Douglas McGregor. Now, I guess I saw this. I just don't remember seeing this one, but I'm going to watch it again. I'll probably realize when I'm watching it I saw it. And then here's the other one with General Flynn, and then another one with Colonel McGregor. And again, this one here is a little over 2 hours, and it is really in-depth, very informative. I was riveted, you know what I mean? You know, when I look into things that really interest me, you know, the things which going on as far as common law is concerned is one of the issues that I have a lot of interest in. So, you know, I can sit down and research for 8-10 hours, no problem. You know, just I find it so fascinating, especially common law. And but the same thing with these interviews. I mean, I was so riveted by them. Certainly didn't fall asleep. Let's put it that way. So I like reading the rules of federal procedure, you know, federal rules of civil procedure. it bores me to tears, I'm telling you. So. But anyway, I'm going to put these interviews up. I'll put them all up under today's issues. Today's issues, and I'll put them under interviews right there. And this is where I'll put them. I'll just lay them out there. And there's other ones. You know, these ones here that I've put up there in the past, they're all worthwhile watching. Very powerful. And again, I think they're informative, and that's why I put them up here, and things that people should know about, you know. So a lot of good stuff.
I'll close in saying this. Godspeed to both you and Gerard.
Right. Thank you. You too. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
Okay. I guess we come to the end of our program. I know last week we shut down without shutting the recording off, so we've got to be careful and make sure that happens first. So, all right. God bless everyone. Lord willing, we'll see you next Monday and the following Thursday. Not this Thursday, but the following Thursday. We're going to start a Bible study for anyone that's interested. It's going to be Thursday night Bible study. It'll be an hour long and probably do 45 minutes and 15-minute discussion area after each study. So we'll be starting that not this Thursday, next Thursday. But I'll send an email for anybody interested. Hopefully people are interested in that. So.
Does that start at 9?
No, it'll be 7:30 probably. 7:30 Eastern time. It'll be recorded and it'll be videotaped, and we'll be putting it up on our website somewhere under education and probably somewhere under the Bible here somewhere. Not sure where. It'll be under here somewhere where people will be able to find it. So if you can't make it to it, you can always watch it at your leisure time, you know, and listen in and follow along and hopefully get blessed by it. Okay. Good night, everybody. Thanks for coming.
Good night.